teaching you off time.
Verse,
and James 4 and verse 8, it says,
draw nigh to God,
and he will draw nigh to you.
And those of you here, take the Bible now and go to 1 Peter chapter 2, if you will.
James 4, verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. You know what, son of God? I can
hear our message tonight ties in with the message we brought last evening. The message last night was you understanding what your position is as a son of God. And your position, first of all, is you are a peculiar people that reveals your truth. Second of all, you are the people of God. And that's obvious by your conduct. And third of all, the word of God says, you are pilgrim. That is your conversation or manner of living. You're just passing through this life. You're living your life in light of eternity. And once you grasp what your position is as a child of God, then we ought to be aware of what our practice should be. And tonight, this message zeroes in on the practice of a child of God. Would y'all look at 1 Peter chapter 2, as I read verses 1 through 5, please.
He's like anyone else.
Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakers, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. They said, be ye patient, but the Lord is gracious. To whom, coming as the living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Let's pray.
Well, if you're going to get lost,
Father, we pray tonight that the Word of God will minister to the hearts of our people.
The Bible says Daniel knelt three times.
May the blessed Spirit of God take this truth of your Word
and so would you all
impress our lives for you.
Three,
we ask in Christ's name.
Tomorrow, all you need are three times otherwise.
In the passage which I just read to you, we find the practice of a child of God revealed.
And you know what?
And the first observation, the Bible says, our practice is to denounce sin. Look at verse 1.
And I had to preach my mom.
Wherefore, laying aside all malice
you love your mother,
and all guile,
and I dearly love my mom,
and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking.
You so
now look here. The Bible declares we are to lay aside things
so
out of our lives.
The message really
now,
is for
so
God,
often,
people as well.
We get up here and we hit different issues.
I hope the Lord will
and rightly so.
Labors as you invite friends.
But rarely does someone
table,
ever preach about the danger of the tongue.
Piano. She's an outstanding pianist.
And all
and,
evil speakings,
that,
God says,
Sharon,
ought to be laid aside out of our lives.
And our
but so often it's easy for us to criticize.
And, Lord, we're
and let our tongue run wild. Without ever putting a spiritual steering wheel on the tongue. And we begin to criticize individuals. And we begin to do it in a way where it sounds like it's of a spiritual tongue. And yet, in reality, it's wicked. Whenever we attack individuals, and we gossip, and we run down the character of an individual. And the Bible has some sharp admonition for all of us. The Bible says in Psalm 101 verse 5, whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. James 3:6 says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 10, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips, they speak no guile. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. James 4:11, speak not evil one of another, brethren. James 1:26, if any man among you seem religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. What a powerful teaching in the Word of God. Guard what you say about others. I didn't forget, several years ago, I heard something about this pastor. And you know what? I spread it to someone else because I thought it was facts. I found out it was not true. So, I called this pastor up. I said, hey, brother. He said, yeah, Brother Savinsky, what is it? I said, brother, I've called you to apologize to you. He said, what about? I said, well, I heard a rumor about you. And I thought it was factual. But I found out that was not the case. It was not true. And brother, I'm asking, would you forgive me? I should have called you first and checked it out. You know what? That's not easy to do. Have you gossiped? Have you attacked someone else or passed something on about someone else? Look, congregation, a person who has a problem with the tongue is as dangerous as an individual hooked on pornography. And the Bible declares we are to lay aside these things. We are, first of all, to denounce sin. Number two, look in verse 2. We are to delight in God's Word. The Bible declares, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. A little baby loves the milk. And you know what? Well, my boys, I have three boys and a beautiful daughter, and I never did it to Jennifer, but to my boys, I taught my boys how to do sit-ups as babies. I did not want any fat babies. And so what I would do is this. I would hold the child in my arm with a bottle of milk up here. And the kid's down there, I mean, he's screaming, the arms are flailing, his legs are kicking. I'm holding the bottle in the air like that. And they're crying, hooah, you like that. And all of a sudden, they spot the bottle up there. Oh, ho, ho, you know. And so they would come up. I'm teaching them to have setups, you know. And so they would come up. And all I would do, I'd put the bottle in there. And you know how loud they are? They'd go, and all I would do, I'd pull the bottle. No, you didn't. Oh, yes, I did. Well, you shouldn't have done that. I know, but it was so much fun. But you know what? A baby desires that sincere milk. He wants that milk. You know what? As a child of God, our practices, we ought to desire God's Word. We ought to crave the milk of God's Word. Let's say that your favorite breakfast is my favorite breakfast. By the way, if I could, I would eat pancakes or waffles every day of my life. I would be a big time evangelist if I did so. But I do love pancakes and I do love waffles. However, let's say, sir, that your favorite breakfast is eggs and bacon. Or as a teenager, your favorite breakfast is French toast, and your chocolate milk or whatever. And you're coming downstairs. And sir, there's your wife. She's at the bottom waiting for you. And there you are, teenage guy or girl. You're at the bottom of the step, coming down, and mom's at the bottom of the steps. And mom looks at you. And mom says to you, as a teenager, I've made your favorite breakfast for you this morning. I've got your French toast. I've got your glass of chocolate milk with a straw in it. Or else as a man, your wife says to you, honey, I've made your favorite breakfast for you. I've got your bacon and your eggs. And I've got your coffee. And you look at your wife, or you look at mom and say, hey, mom, or honey, I appreciate that. But I, first of all, have to be in the Bible first before I eat. You say, you are being funny, aren't you, Brother Savinsky? Yeah, you know why? Because most people would rather eat than be in God's Word. And yet the Word of God says, in Psalm 119, and verse 97, oh, how love I thy law is my meditation of the day. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, for thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And there ought to be this practice. And I tell you what we're losing today. People would rather go to church, hear the man of God preach, than to go home and feed themselves from the Word of God. Now, congregation, God's ordained the pastor to feed you spiritually. But you're only in God's house for a few brief hours during the entire week. And you've got to be in God's Word. Not too long ago, a man of God made the statements. His name is Dr. Norman Powell. He said, the more translations that come out, the less the Scriptures are being memorized. And I believe that's so. And I believe tonight we're missing something among God's people. And that is the memorization and the meditation of God's Word. The studying of the Bible. Taking in this milk and the meat of God's Word. The practice of a child of God is he ought to delight in God's Word. Number three, look at verse 5. The third practice is he is to develop his life spiritually. The Word of God says, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. Stop right there. Look at me. The Bible declares we ought to build up a spiritual house. Let's say I'm going to build a house in South Carolina. And I ask you gentlemen in this church, would you guys come down and help me build a house? And you say, well, Brother Jerry, we'd be thrilled to do that. And so I take you men down to Star, South Carolina, and you guys are all excited, and you say, Brother Jerry, what are we going to do first? I say, well, guys, we are going to build the roof first. And these guys look at me like, okay. And so we get the rafters and the plywood and the tar paper and the shingles, and we build the roof. And then I say, can you guys hold the roof up? And so I got guys on both sides, and they got poles under, and they lift up the roof like this. And they say, what's next, Brother Jerry? And I say, well, now we are going to dig the footers under the house. And so I got all of you strong guys holding the roof in the air like this. And after a while, these guys all began to look at me and say, Brother Savinsky, this roof is getting awful heavy. And we don't know, Brother Jerry, if we can hold this thing. Brother Jerry, it's awful heavy. And wham, it comes down and flattens every guy flat as a pancake. Well, you don't build a home by putting the roof in the air. You start with the foundation, the footers, the floor joints, the siding, the rafters, and so forth. You don't go down the Lowe's and say, I want a house, and walk in there, pick up a box, bring the box home, throw it on the foundation, push a button, and whoom, there's your home. No, it takes time. I know what, child of God, it takes time for your life to really develop spiritually. You know, one of the cutest stages of life are when children are in kindergarten. That's a very cute stage. And when a child is in kindergarten, everybody wants to say their ABCs. And so the teacher calls on the student, says, all right, Jacqueline, or Claudine, or Thurl, or Yule, or Jack, or Lucy. You say, where on earth did you get those names from? Well, those are mountain people who live right near me. Jacqueline, Claudine, Thurl, Yule, Jack, Lucy, Cotchwell. And I mean, they were mountain people. I'd go to their homes and eat, and chickens would walk across the kitchen table. And that's the truth. All right? And so the teacher says, who wants to say their ABCs? And all these kids are just Mio, you know, Mio. And so the teacher calls one of his little kindergarten kids down. And you know how cute they are. They stand like this, and they say their ABCs. And when they get through with their ABCs, they say, now I said my ABCs, what did you think of me? And everybody goes, good boy, good girl, and rightly so. However, let's say one of these teenage girls who's a senior, or a teenage guy who's a senior. And I say, come here right now, young lady. You're a senior, right? Yes. Young man, come here. And they say, oh boy, oh boy. And I say, tell and say your ABCs to this congregation. And they go, oh boy, here we go. And they say their ABCs. And when they get there, they say, now I said my ABCs. What do you think of me? And we all go, you know. Wouldn't it be sad? Look, wouldn't it be sad if all a senior knew were the ABCs? You know what's really sad? As I go around America, I find people whose lives have never developed. Why does a life not develop? You know, where'd you get where you are physically? Because you took food and nourishment within your life. The Bible declares you have to take in the nourishment of God's Word. Romans 10:17 says, "Some in faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Being under the power of God's Word, that's how the life begins to develop. The life develops when a person goes to God's house on a regular basis. Just as you sit down and have 3 meals a day. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is, but you gather together and you take in the Word of God and you begin to study the Bible and you become a person who begins to pray. And you develop character within your life because the Bible will shape your godly walk. And you are built up a spiritual house. Before God saved me, I cussed. I'm not proud of this fact, people, but all my people cussed. I drank. We all drank booze. We all went to the theaters. We all were involved in fighting. We were very hard people. However, when Christ saved us, Christ began to develop our lives. You know why? Because we were in God's house. We were hearing the Word of God preached. We developed a prayer life. We began to see God shape character within us as we allowed Him from the Word of God. And these things began to fall by the wayside. And the weight of God's Word began to become the desire of our hearts. And this evening, my friend, no one develops spiritually like that. It's by the person realizing it's you as an individual allowing God's Word to impact your life. So tonight, the practice of a child of God is he denounces sin. He delights in God's Word. He develops his life spiritually. However, if you are here and you're unsaved, you'll never know anything about this until you make a major decision in your life. And that decision is coming to Christ and letting Christ save you. Let's bow our heads and pray, please. Our dear Father, we do pray for the Word of God to take its effect upon the lives of your people. We know, Lord, we cannot do anything apart from the leading of the Holy Spirit. And we're asking the Holy Spirit will take the truth of the Word of God and impact our lives by the teaching that we've heard this evening. And for anyone who may not be saved, Lord, we pray they'll come to Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name. With their heads bowed, please, their eyes are closed. I'm going to have them play a song. Just as I am. And while they're getting ready for the song of Just as I Am, maybe there's someone here tonight who says, you know, Brother Jerry, as a child of God, something has been addressed in this service that's spoken to my life. It's not going to be easy for me to deal with these matters, but tonight, something has gripped my heart, and I know I need to take action upon it. Well, you know what, child of God, the Bible tells you in Psalm 51:17, a broken and a contrite spirit, O God, thou wilt not despise. And when we are tender and we respond because the Holy Spirit has stirred our life, that's the time that we ought to take action. So as Christian begins to play our song of Just as I Am, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, you say, Brother Savinsky, really, I want you to pray because I'm going to need the Lord's help. to deal with some of these issues that have been addressed in my life this evening. Would you raise your hand to the Lord and say, yes, that's my desire? Would you quietly raise your hand right now and put it back down? And you're saying by the raised hand, the Lord has stirred my heart by the Word. And I need to deal with something in my life. As I go on, maybe you're here without Christ as your Savior. You say, Brother Jerry, I am not sure that I'm even saved. No one's ever taken the Word of God and shown me how I can come to Christ. And I need to be saved. Would you raise your hand right now in the air and put it back down? Before I close, would you quietly raise your hand in the air? In a moment, we're going to stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. You as a child of God, if you want to come here, I'll give you plenty of time to kneel at this altar and voice to God your need and go back where you're standing. But most of all, if you're unsaved, we invite you to come to the pastor and say, Pastor Wright, I would like to know how Christ could save me. And let someone take the Bible and show you how you can come to Christ. Our Father, take your word now and be honored by it. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, please. There's no humming, no singing. And she just plays a song of Just As I Am. If you want to step out and come to this altar, then I invite you to do so. But most of all, if you're unsaved, do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Would you come with a dear friend? Let someone take the Bible and show you how you can come to Christ. As Christy plays another stanza, okay, would you all look this way, please? You know, this is a wonderful crowd for Monday night, and we thank the Lord that you folk have come out this evening. Now, has anyone, you had the rush to get here? You've had no time for supper yet? Would you raise your hand in the air? Is there anyone, okay, back there? Anyone else? Okay, then brother, you have my permission at your expense to go to McDonald's and pig out tonight, okay? How's that sound? My favorite place. Not Sharon's, but my favorite place, all right? We are so glad, really, you've come this evening. Now, tomorrow night, I cannot stress this strong enough. Really, the message tomorrow night, congregation, you're going to need this. We all go through these dark trials of life. The unsaved do not know what to do. Even if someone has cancer, going through marital problems, financial disaster. And I'll tell you what, congregation, these trials bombard all of us. I pray you'll come back again tomorrow night. And then don't forget, pray three times on your knees if possible, or three times otherwise, and see Sharon if you want these items off the table. Okay, Pastor Doug.